selling the commodity of humans have to be the biggest selling business out there. It's the most lucrative. And this is why, you know, when you break it down to just one human being and the stories of so many people I've met in my time of just fighting human trafficking, I cannot go to sleep until I spend every day that I have using my platforms to fight human trafficking.
That's Jeannie Mai, the host of the talk show The Real. Jeannie is committed to educating people about human trafficking, which is currently the third largest dark crime in the world, and what each of us can do to stop it. I'm Michelle King, and this is She Innovates, a podcast that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. On today's episode, producer, fashion expert, and host Jeannie Mai talks to me about the underlying causes of human trafficking and her extensive work to help victims, mostly of which include women and children, on their road to recovery. For years, Jeannie has been an advocate for victims of human trafficking, and her work aims to raise awareness about this global problem, which is so important to her. So Jeannie, I just wanted to get started by getting you to share a little bit about why you're so determined to fight human trafficking.
Yeah, well, personally, human trafficking is such a dark nightmare of a topic that is only rising and getting worse. You know, it used to be the third largest dark crime, and now it's actually becoming the second. Drugs and weapons were first, and now it's drugs and human trafficking. There are more slaves today than ever in the history of slavery itself. And that's just what we've been able to track and count. You can imagine in so many parts of the world, there's many that just go unaccounted for. You know, Libya and just what's happening there is one way to kind of grasp a hold on a country that's in despair over trafficking. But anywhere that's war-torn or anywhere that has lesser means of education or protection or just law-abiding citizens, even something as basic as that, you can get trafficking. Selling the commodity of humans happens to be the biggest selling business out there. It's the most lucrative. And this is why, you know, when you break it down to just one human being and the stories of so many people I've met in my time of just fighting human trafficking, I cannot go to sleep until I spend every day that I have using my platforms to fight human trafficking. On a personal level, I've experienced abuse in my past as a child. And for anybody out there who has experienced that, you know that it's a piece of you that's been taken and you can literally feel it missing. You feel that it's not there. Almost like, think if somebody were to take a body part of yours, whether it's an arm or even an eye, you know it's there, you can feel where it belongs, but it's gone, and you just kind of move on the rest of your life feeling that missing void. And now a lot of times that's innocence for children, you know? And so that connected with hearing the personal stories from people I've met in my time spent in the field of trafficking has made me just an ambassador for life to fight the issue.
You know, Jeannie, that's such an important issue. And I just wondered if you could maybe share a little bit more about what your work specifically involves.
Sure. Well, when I first found out about human trafficking about 8 years ago, I didn't understand the term. And trafficking, the word itself, was really just created about 15 years ago to allow us to define what does it mean to sell people. Like that still just doesn't make sense today, and a lot of people are still understanding it today now. So for me, once I heard that this was actually happening and I met a family member who was being trafficked because her family member owed debt, had some money that was owed, so in order to make the money back, they sold her services as a prostitute. And once I saw that this was happening, I had to get into it and understand more. So I used my resources and was able to talk around to my churches and also look online and find a few places that actually work with victims. And for me, you know, there's so many causes out there today. You have to be in the front line. You have to be there with people to really feel and understand the brevity of it.
You know, how exactly do you do that?
So I went and actually lived in a couple brothels. I worked with Nightlight Organization. It's a private organization in Thailand that works directly with victims, and they travel out to the brothels and they stay in the brothels and help mentor and just encourage the women that are stuck in those situations. So I lived out there for about 6 months and actually kind of posed myself as one of the workers there and was able to break bread with the ladies that lived in there, worked throughout the hours with them, saw the actual patrons that they worked with, and was just blown away by some of the visuals that I'll never forget.
Wow, you know, that must have been such an impactful experience. Could you maybe share with us, you know, what you saw during your time there?
You know, girls as young as 12 years old having sex with up to 30 men a night. Young boys from the age of 6 handing out flyers describing some of the graphic things that the women can do. Mamasans, women who were around the age of 30 that worked as they're called mamasans, but they're basically the brothel owners, and they are like the pimps of the brothels, and they own the women. They make negotiations with the gang members that own the brothels. It's just incredible. It was so graphic, and I'll never forget it. So when I saw so many of these women that could be my sisters, and all of their stories, some of them, they owed money, different debts that were involved in gambling, maybe buying a house, maybe just not being able to pay off certain bills. Their families then sold them into brothels. Some of the women were promised a better life or a better future, so they were taken from smaller countries out in the countryside of Thailand, promised a better life, and then, you know, once they cross the border, they're then taken from their freedom and assigned to a brothel and to work there at night, but in the day work as labor workers.
Trafficking is such a complex problem. It's driven by a range of economic, social, and cultural factors. The International Labour Organization reports that globally, there are an estimated 20 million victims of human trafficking. Jeannie, could you maybe share what you think some of the underlying causes are that have made human trafficking such a global epidemic?
So, humans can make a lot of money because of what we can do. And business of bodies and selling people, very lucrative. So when you see a country like Libya, you know, lose its governmental power, lose their own sense of civilization, that is the first thing people need to do out of desperation, is to sell people as slaves. Because so much work needs to be done. Obviously, sex is something that people are lusting after, and then bearing of children to build more, to keep a country and the livelihood of a community to keep growing. That's just one part of how that can happen. The next part of human trafficking and why it can continue is because there really isn't governmental structure that brings about the right punishment to put a fear in traffickers and also put a protection around people who are susceptible to it. When you go out to these countries that don't have a lot of structure in place when it comes to governmental, you know, protection, then slaves are being sold and traded. And when they get punished, they get maybe a week in jail. Or maybe for the victims, they are blamed for having, you know, what it looks like. If they're a prostitute, it looks like the woman asked to be there. If they're a sex slave, it looks like the woman was just choosing to be in that company. It's just, there's a lot of things that are blamed, that are put blamed in the wrong places for these victims. So that just allows the conversation to continue. When it comes to areas like this, first world problems and areas like America, people don't take trafficking seriously. There are 17 brothels here on Sunset Boulevard, one of the most popular streets where even, you know, red carpet parties are always around. We have a Hollywood Walk of Stars. People don't realize that it's also here in Los Angeles. If you were to put your Google alert on to human trafficking, you would get at least 10 messages a day of just different human trafficking crimes that are happening all over the U.S. So it's really disconnect between third world countries and first world countries.
You know, one of my main kind of questions is human trafficking a gender equality issue? You know, what role do men have to play in preventing the issue?
The toxic masculinity, the constant approval for men to act in a hostile manner that allows it to be cool to play down a woman. Allow it to be okay to have different, what we call today in the street, side chicks, you know, women that you have on the side. And also, what we're forgetting, though, is that men are victimized as well. Men are raped as well. This happens at a young age, and it also happens at an adult age. But men aren't allowed to talk about it. And it's part of that toxic masculinity, where men don't feel they have a place to be able to talk about that. Iron sharpens iron. It just allows you to feel like it's okay for you to come out and speak up on it too. Men are also, as much as they are victimized as women, they are also a big part in how we can end the victimization towards women and trafficking altogether, they can fight the rape culture that's happening out there. You know, we cannot win this battle without mental support. Men, just be there for women in your life. Recognize and really invite the women into your same conversations and to be beside you when it comes to raising the bar to where women deserve to be.
So after learning about the root causes that perpetuate human trafficking, Jeannie talked to me a little bit about the rehabilitation process for survivors. So Jeannie, I just wanted to share with our audience, you know, this road to recovery and what that looks like and how important it is for victims to have meaningful employment to help them on that path.
So when you come out of that demise, if you are, again, only either because you're able to escape or you have been rescued, which is usually from a raid, that's only 2%, by the way. 2% of these 42 million that I'm describing are stuck in these conditions. So when they escape, they are known, they see themselves as just purely a product. They only know to be sold, only know to be traded. They themselves, their heart and their fire is completely put out, completely taken from them. So when you look at the average person, like you or I, who got up and found our way to find the purpose, took that purpose and made it a service for others, whether it's you reporting, me being on TV, somebody else going out there to fulfill a job, somebody else out there being a mom, you know your worth. You wake up with a sense of worth and a sense of responsibility and a duty because you know your worth. It has to start from there. So when that has been taken from you, these people don't know that the world wants them. They only see themselves as just an animal figure of a used human being. They don't know I can get up and I can still do this. I have a voice. Voice has been taken from you. You don't realize how broken you are until you really don't even think that somebody cares to hear what you have to say. So that's why these organizations like Nightlight, like Not For Sale, a lot of great ones out there that build therapeutically to remind these victims their value, their story, their survival, background that nobody can identify with, but that actually empowers and gets us to understand that they're so much farther heroic than even the average person who hasn't been through it. They begin to get that sense of value again, and it's a different type of value, not the value of what they've been known for however long they've been trafficked. So jobs give people a sense of independence and security and self-confidence, and that can essentially help them survive for the rest of their lives.
Apart from connecting survivors with jobs, it's really important to know some of the solutions that already exist out there. Technology, for instance, enables traffickers to use websites and social media to recruit victims. However, apps and other technology solutions can also provide opportunities for law enforcers to monitor and track perpetrators. You know, Jeannie, one of the really important areas to solving this issue potentially is technology. You know, it's not only a problem, but it could also be a solution.
Yes, absolutely.
Could you maybe share a little bit more about that?
Now, when it comes to technology, technology is part of the reason why human trafficking business has quadrupled because of the ease of being able to sell and trade and request for human sexual favors and all that because of, you know, the anonymity behind it.
Jeannie says the role of technology in human trafficking can't be ignored. More than enabling business of human trafficking to grow, she says technology also has a powerful role in stopping crime from happening. She says there are apps out there like Spotlight, created by Ashton Kutcher's nonprofit Thorn, that help law enforcers to find more human trafficking victims faster. Jeannie says that we need more apps and other systems in place that allow people to be the eyes and ears on the ground. Ones that allow us to immediately take action, such as report anything suspicious we see while we're traveling.
Because at the end of the day, human traffickers don't dress a different way. They don't look a different way. They really are just small humanistic signs that you might be able to capture and see. So when you're able to find that, it then takes, what do you do? What do you do with this information? Calling 911 is going to be saturated. That's very different. So it needs to be more than that community effort of us being able to see something, say something, bring the issue at hand right into your own hands.
So finally, Jeannie, I just wanted to see if you had a message you want to share with anybody who wants to get involved or support organizations that work to prevent human trafficking.
Of course. I would say, first of all, understand what trafficking is. So my film, Stopping Traffic, it's available on iTunes. You can download it now. It's a film that covers the news of trafficking and what has been happening and how we got to where we are in the U.S., Mexico, Thailand, and Texas specifically, since that's a big port for trafficking. So if you watch the movie, you'll find at the end 9 different ways that you yourself can get involved and put an end to trafficking. The second thing I think you need to do is, like me, join some of the organizations out there to directly learn and feel the stories of victims. Not for Sale is a great one. I love that they have, it's a great source where you can either work with people who are rehabilitating or you can work with people who still live in shelters to understand their story.
Jeannie's work is so important, and I think the main takeaway from our interview is really that all of us can help to play a role to prevent human trafficking, whether that's through volunteering with an organization or simply speaking up if you see something. This is such a complicated issue, but by taking action, each of us can work to help prevent human trafficking. Again, this is your host, Michelle King. Thanks so much for joining us today to talk about a really important topic. Next week, I'm thrilled to have HP's Chief Sustainability and Social Impact Officer, Nate Hurst, join us. One of the main topics we'll be covering is why women are key to driving innovation in business. So stay tuned.
From the Human Group, She Innovates is a podcast created with support from SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.